So coronavirus has caused a lot of different problems. It's hard to think of an area of our lives that it hasn't affected. And one area where it's really taken a toll is in our pocketbooks and our wallets, so much so that lots of families in the Triad are just having a hard time putting food on the table. And that's why The Wolf has teamed up with Second Harvest Food Bank of Northwest North Carolina to help feed the need with a virtual food drive. So right now, I'm speaking with Eric Aft. He's the CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank. And we're going to talk about the need, how you can help, and about his own personal, very personal experience with COVID-19. So, Eric, thanks for giving us a little time today.
Tammy, we appreciate the support and the opportunity to get the community more involved in making a real difference.
So, the Triad, before this pandemic, already had a huge hunger problem and a huge issue with food insecurity. So, how has COVID-19 impacted what was already a big problem for us?
You're absolutely right. You know, 1 in 7 individuals and 1 in 5 of our kids face food insecurity before we face this dilemma. And we're seeing is between 30 and 40% increases in requests for assistance across the region. And in some pockets, that's we're seeing even higher numbers of people seeking food assistance for the very first time.
Wow. Has Second Harvest ever faced this kind of situation where it seems like the demand increased like overnight almost? Are you able to keep up?
That's true. And it's a substantial challenge. You know, we've been faced with disasters before, whether it's tornadoes in our region, flooding, the effects of hurricanes, that type of thing. And this is completely different because, as you said, this affects us all. It impacts the entire 18 counties that we serve. It's been a challenge because the food systems have been strained. The ability for people to go out and purchase some extra and donate it is challenged. And the simple fact is that the economic impact has affected so many families, along with the disease itself. It has put a lot of stress on our systems. But I think our team, and because of the support of the community, we're doing a heck of a job. We're doing all we can to meet the need.
So explain the way that Second Harvest is kind of the hub. And they supply food pantries. I don't think a lot of people understand this. You know, if you're in Yadkinville or you're in Wilkes County or Davie County or whatever, and you go to your church food pantry or your ministry, local ministry, or, you know, whoever is offering food, most of those people are getting food from Second Harvest. You may not see Second Harvest when you go pick it up at whatever Baptist church, but that's where the food is typically coming from, correct?
That's exactly right. We actually source 75% of the food that food pantries and food assistance programs across the region are providing to people in need. You know, we really are the cornerstone for ensuring that, you know, our network of 290 plus agencies who are on the front lines can provide those vital foods to those in need.
So how do money donations, dollar donations, how does that translate into food on someone's table? How quickly does that translate into food on someone's table?
Well, there's a couple ways. One is it's supporting this existing network that we are literally providing food to on a daily basis. You know, almost 200 different agencies are being provided food to help our neighbors in need during any given week. And so when people make that donation, they're helping us to be able to do just that. In addition, we have been regularly ordering truckloads of family emergency boxes and senior emergency food boxes. Because of the challenge of the food system, candidly, those are coming in more slowly than we would like. But this isn't going away anytime soon, and the economic impact is not going away anytime soon. Therefore, that gift that people are making is when they make it, we're going to put another order in, and we're going to be getting that food out as quickly as possible. And then finally, this past week, we will come close to providing 30,000 individual meals to kids and individuals in our communities. These are kind of, if we think of TV dinners or meals at schools, these are the kind of prepared meals we're providing to children and individuals who have lost jobs. And that 30,000 in 1 week, we envision that growing every single week. So when people make that donation, their funds are being translated into real meals for individuals in need in our community pretty much right away.
It literally is neighbors feeding neighbors. You're not just helping some random, you know, faceless person. You're not just making some random donation. But when you donate to Second Harvest Food Bank, it's almost like you can picture your neighbor down the road who's hungry getting that meal, and you can believe and trust that your dollars have that impact. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so gratifying, I guess, to give to Second Harvest, is just knowing that.
It's a great way to know that someone facing that uncertainty, that there's one piece in their life that can be handled, which is food. Mm-hmm. It is painful to know that people are having to make decisions between buying medication or paying a utility bill or purchasing food. And our job and all of us working together can make that, a decision they don't have to make, because we can be there for each other with vital food assistance.
So it also sounds like you guys are doing a lot more like manpower kind of things there. And we're facing a situation where probably a lot of people are a little bit concerned about getting out and volunteering. Do you need volunteers? And do you have a plan in place to keep people healthy while they're volunteering?
Our work is deemed appropriately as one of those essential services. And one of the ways that we make this happen for us is through volunteers. And the fact that people can come out and help out and volunteer with us is a great way to do that. We're making it safe in a couple ways. We're encouraging the use of masks. We're taping areas so that people stay 6 feet apart. In addition, the food bank has always been one of the cleanest places you'd ever go. We take it very seriously, and we have really increased our routine with regard to keeping our facility clean and free of germs. And again, it's something we take seriously all the time, but that has just been ramped up over the past 6 weeks.
If people want to volunteer or want to get more information about volunteering, where should they go?
The best place is going right to the Second Harvest website, which is secondharvestnwnc.org. And there's a tab up at the top that says Get Involved. And you can see the different opportunities and shifts that you can take. It's a very simple sign up process, and you can really choose what time fits well for you and people that you know.
Awesome. So perhaps nobody knows better the importance of social distancing and avoiding getting COVID-19 than you. The crazy and ironic thing that happened for you is here you were on the front lines of feeding families affected economically by COVID-19, only to find out that you had actually contracted it. Tell me your story, Eric.
Well, no one was more surprised than me. In my role, I was preaching the social distancing piece and washing hands. And like all of us, I was getting, dry hands from washing them. I was using paper towels to open doors and things like this. And on March 27th, I came home with chills and a fever and a headache, hoping that, I just caught a little bit of the flu. And unfortunately, things progressed over the next week, where developed a bit of a cough, the headache and fever and chills never went away. Breathing started to get more difficult. And so over that weekend, I saw a little bit more assistance, headed to urgent care and ultimately the emergency room on April 6th. They said, well, this could be that situation. They began the testing process. And they said, if it gets worse, come back. And the next 24 hours were difficult. I'll just put it that way, especially with breathing. Ended up back in the emergency room on the 7th and being admitted after being found to have pneumonia. And the doctors felt like it was very likely COVID caused pneumonia. And within about 24 to 36 hours, that was confirmed. You know, I had contracted the virus and the virus had created a viral pneumonia.
Wow, that must have been so scary.
Yeah, it was, you know, heading to the hospital and turning to my family and just saying, I'll see you later, and having to drive myself to the hospital. You know, a lot of uncertainty crept in my mind, and not knowing what this virus really held for me and, you know, the difficulty it is causing for so many families. You know, but fortunately, I got the support that was needed, got the care I was needed. And as the doctor said, they were there to help my body heal itself. The entire nursing staff and CNAs and the entire team at Novant, you know, were incredibly helpful and supportive. And, you know, I feel incredibly fortunate to get the support from my family and the community. And I wish that for everybody who is dealing with this terrible disease.
Absolutely. And I mean, you're a fairly young guy, you know, you're a healthy person. I think it just goes to show that, you know, we've got to be so cautious with this. We tend to think, well, it's mostly, you know, the old or the people who are already very sick. And yes, they do tend to be most at risk for serious complications, but nobody is completely protected or safe from this, even people who are doing everything the right way, right?
I think that's really well said. The fact is, I don't have any underlying conditions that would have put me at greater risk of infection, and especially where it would turn into viral pneumonia because of the COVID. You know, it really is a reminder that this is a very real, very terrible disease that is impacting families in a very real way that we just need to be aware of and practice the social distancing and the hygiene that is emphasized and will carry us all through, because I don't want anyone to experience what I did, the uncertainty, the difficulty breathing, the 13 straight days of fever and chills. It is incredibly difficult, and just not a good experience. No. Wouldn't want to wish it on anyone.
Zero out of zero would recommend. So you are now on the mend, but I'm guessing not 100%. This was a long time to be sick.
It is. I've never, you know, I've had my share of strep throat and flu and all that kind of stuff over the years, and this was, you know, kind of unfathomable. You know, fortunately, I feel, you know, most of the day I feel about 95%. It's, you know, catching my breath is still an issue, and fatigue and a bit of a cough. You know, but I've just been cautioned that it's going to take, you know, a few weeks to get back up to normal and just to be patient, which I'm not very good at, because I'm ready to get back to work and support our team at Second Harvest and help us to grow the work that we're doing for our community.
And your family was able to stay safe? Nobody ever got sick? Nobody got it from you?
That's exactly right. It's, wow. I, you know, of everything I'm so thankful for is that no member of my family, no member of the Second Harvest team became sick. We, again, I think the social distancing, the isolation was key to that. And I'm, again, incredibly thankful to the support that they received, but the fact that they've been stayed healthy is just incredible.
Well, we're not going to keep you for any longer because you still need to be resting and recovering, so you can get right back at it. Thank you, Eric. Thank you for all your time, for all the information, for what you and the folks at Second Harvest Food Bank do, you know, serving the community. I think getting close to 40 years now. I can't, you know, either people listening either have been helped by Second Harvest or know people who have been helped. The impact on the triad is that great. And we're just so thankful to have the opportunity to do something. We all want to be doing something to help right now. And here's something really practical and easy that we can do. So I'm excited about it. I'm ready to see Wolf Nation really jump in there and help out big time. And we're going to keep you in our prayers too, Eric. We're going to keep you and your healing and your recovery in our prayers. We're so glad that you're okay.
Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate it. Appreciate the support from the Wolf Nation of our work. And we'll continue to keep at it and raise our level of work to respond to this challenge that faces our community.